Everyone. Welcome back to Chayrach and Achiyomi. You are listening to Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph with Yehoshua Eisenberg. Now, the 21st Perek of Shmuel Aleph features the flight of David HaMelech. After it's become very clear that Shaul HaMelech intends to pursue David for his life, David proceeds to hide in Nov Ir HaKohanim, Nov, the city of Kohanim, at the home of Achimelech HaKohen. Achimelech feeds him bread. And in a scene that sounds like it came out of some movie, Achimelech hands over to David the sword of none other than Goliath, not the sword of Gryffindor, but he hands over the sword of Goliath. Meanwhile, Doeg HaAdomi overhears all of this. Doeg HaAdomi, he is one of the servants of Shaul HaMelech. That means that David is in trouble again. And then David HaMelech proceeds to flee yet again to one of the Plishti cities, Gus. And in Gus, he encounters one of the kings, Achish. And in a scene that can perhaps be described as comical, I actually prefer disturbing and sobering, when David HaMelech is about to be captured by the servants of Achish, because after all, this is the man about whom it was described that he slaughtered 10,000 Plishti men, so they reasonably want to arraign him and turn him in. As soon as they bring him to Achish, David HaMelech comes up with an incredible idea. He starts drooling into his beard. He starts scribbling on the walls and on the doors. He feigns an act of insanity, derangement, almost as though he's mentally ill. Achish looks at him and says, "There's no way this is the man described as David." And David ends up getting freed from the situation. Achish actually says, "You know what, I have enough fools to deal with over here at home. Why do I need to bring in a new one?" And David is off the hook. And this little scene at the end of our parak is actually the basis for one of the Prakim and Tehillim, Parak Lamed Dalet, which we recite every single Shabbos in Pesukei Dezimra, L'David B'shanasu Es Ta'amo L'fnei Avimelech. This is what David composed when he changed his demeanor in front of Avimelech. Avimelech refers to a Plishti king, and of course in this case it's referring to Achish Melech Gus. And the question is, what exactly is the significance of this very strange story at the end of the parak? Why do we need to know about it? Why is it important at this particular juncture of the story? And the answer, I think, lies a little bit in what Rashi on Perek Lamed Dalet of Tehillim tells us about how David HaMelech came to compose this particular parak. David had been challenged by a very simple question of why it is that Hashem created the very concept of insanity, of mental illness. And it only hit David at this moment when it really came to his benefit. He's like, "Hey, you know, I can use this to my advantage." He, you know, becomes someone who's mentally ill, right? And then all of a sudden, David is saved from this little incident. Now, again, I described earlier that this scene can be referred to as either comical or perhaps very sobering, because after all, why would David HaMelech have to resort to this? He's supposed to be the Melech, or at least eventually he'll be the Melech. He was already anointed, and this is not particularly covetic, and, you know, he's forced in this very negative situation, this very sobering and humbling situation of humiliation, really, and why does he have to go through this? I want to add, why does he go through it right now at this particular juncture? And I want to suggest, though I haven't seen it anywhere, so Leonidas Daiti, I want to suggest that David HaMelech had been particularly plagued by the question of why insanity exists, because he had actually been the victim to it. Because he notices, perhaps at this time, what everyone else notices, that Shaul HaMelech is not himself. The Navi in Perek Tetzayin already described the Ruach Ra that had plagued Shaul. Me'es Hashem, it came from Hashem. The Metzudas David over there explains that this was not just happenstance. He had been afflicted by something. And this is why we have to give a certain degree of respect and reverence to Shaul HaMelech in his situation. We cannot possibly judge the man who is described as a tzaddik otherwise. Why he's experiencing this, why he's making such insane decisions to try to kill David HaMelech when David did absolutely nothing wrong to him. And David reasonably asks, perhaps in response to what he's going through, why would Hashem create this in the first place? And I want to also suggest that David HaMelech doesn't himself really have an answer, but one thing that he does know is that Hashem created it for a reason, and in this particular story, it helped David out. David says, "You know what? I don't know why Hashem is putting me through this. I don't know why I have to resort to it, but this is the thing that's going to save my life right now." At the end of the day, we do not know why Hashem created insane, terrible, disgusting situations, disgusting people. And we wonder why it exists. Why do certain midos exist? Why does brazenness exist? Is there perhaps a place for it? Is there a place where it can come in handy? Is there a benefit to any other kinds of handicap, whether it is a moral handicap, a spiritual handicap, a mental or physical handicap? The point is that David HaMelech is able to say at the end of our parak and at the end of parak Lamed Daled of Tehillim that, you know, everything has a purpose. Anyway, we should be zocha to better times, to more honorable times, to appreciate every single one of Hashem's creations, realize that it has a purpose, and Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue with Perek Chaf Beis.